Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We have all kinds of great guests for you, including our next guest, who I love her, I adore her, and I love every time she comes on the show. She holds nothing back. And, I mean, when you have the nickname Princess of Darkness, does it get any better than that? On the Fan Hotline, one of our favorites, Amy Trask. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Well, I love you, and I adore you, too. And yes. I love you, Cleveland Browns fans. You are always so, so wonderful. I loved going to the Dog Pound when we played in Cleveland. And yes, I'll be rooting for the other team this weekend, but I do love you all.
But it is an entertaining story going into a game when you have two teams that are 2-8, and Shedeur Sanders is the talk of the league right now. Your thoughts on the big story that revolves around our team that can't find a quarterback?
I tried to do the math yesterday, and I was unable to do that because I still have PTSD from trying to learn word problems and algebra and things like that. But, we all read that 42 starting quarterbacks in 22 seasons, and I didn't know what the heck to do. Do you divide 42 by 26, or do you divide 26 by 42? So I put it out there on X, and I let everybody else do the math. I will simply say that when I do the math, that's a lot of quarterbacks. And look, while we have different rooting interests this week, obviously, I certainly will wish for Shedeur to be the best he can be over his time with the Browns. The Browns have not done a good job developing quarterbacks, and I hope that changes with him. The biggest example of late, from my perspective, is Baker Mayfield. Look what Baker Mayfield has gone on to do since leaving Cleveland. He finished up his career there playing with a very, very significant injury. And look, I just don't think he was set up to succeed. So hopefully things will be very different for Shedeur.
So when you were the CEO of the Raiders, did you ever deal with anyone who was like Shedeur, where you had this, almost following to it, where, media circus is such a bad way to put it, but a lot of media coverage, a lot of thoughts. Did you ever deal with something like that? And how did you deal with it?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll let you in on a little secret about the way my brain works. Nothing is springing to mind right now about a specific player example, but this will percolate over the next hours, and maybe the next time we speak, I'll have thought about something, because my brain does that. It percolates when it thinks about things. But did we ever have to deal with media issues when I was working for Al Davis? Certainly you just. it does become a big issue to some organizations. I'm not fond of the expression, it's a distraction, it's a distraction. You know, you don't need to let things become a distraction. So hopefully that doesn't happen for the Browns. Look, as relates to it's a distraction, I was on a team flight home and, one of our coaches, not the head coach, strode over to me very angrily, said that the fact that we didn't have the right kind of candy bars on the plane constituted a distraction. Ugh. And I looked at him and I said, if you think missing a certain kind of candy bar is a distraction, we've got bigger problems than missing candy bars. And the reason I share that with you is there will be some who say that all the attention on Shedeur will constitute a distraction. Well, you know what, Cleveland Browns? Don't let it be a distraction. Just focus on the job at hand.
Hmm. Did you ever find this is the bigger question. When the Browns were going through this whole quarterback situation, right? They trade Kenny Pickett to the Raiders. They trade Joe Flacco to the Bengals. So now they let the two veterans who are actually playing out the door, Deshaun Watson still around. And now you're in a situation, and I look around the league and I just don't see it anywhere else, where you've got a rookie starting and then a rookie as the backup. And I know a lot of people want to sit around here and talk about the fact, well, Sanders, you know, didn't get any first team reps. And I'm like, maybe he should have because no one else is in this situation. Were you ever in a double rookie situation like this?
Not that I recall, but that which you just said about giving him reps really resonated with me. I understand the Browns point, which is you've got two rookies. You've got to give the rookie who's starting as many reps as you can. Well, guess what? Every single player, and you know this, so I say guess what rhetorically, every player is one play away from an injury. So even if your logic, and clearly this is what the Browns indicated theirs was, give the starting rookie all the reps, well, how does that help you then if he goes out, which he did, and the other rookie has to go in, which he did, and he's had zero reps? I don't think that makes sense. I don't think it's fair to the team as a whole. I don't think it's fair to the rookie who gets no reps, who's now playing. I just don't think it's a good idea.
So it's interesting you say that just because there's been this, I mean, goodness, backlash from many a backup quarterbacks in the league saying, I don't know what to tell you. This is kind of just the way that the league works. You know, the starter doesn't want to give up any of those reps. Brian Hoyer had a really good piece in The Athletic where he said he walked out there. Bill O'Brien sent him out there when he was with the Patriots, and Tom Brady said, get away from me. I'm taking this rep. I don't know what you're doing here. You know?
Well, I mean, that's absolutely accurate, but that doesn't, I guess two things are not inconsistent. Everything you just said is accurate. That is what a starter tends to do. And you want to give the starting player as many, if not all, the reps. But you've got to also recognize that every player is one play away from out of the game.
Yes.
And now you've got another rookie. You know, it would be one thing if your backup wasn't also a rookie, because then your backup will have taken reps. But you've got to prioritize not only the rookie who's starting, but the fact that you've got another rookie. Prioritize giving him some reps, because he might, and he did, go into the game with no reps. I don't think that makes sense. Hey, here's the beauty of life. There can be differences of opinion, and when we all disagree with one another, we can do it agreeably and have a reasoned discussion, just like we're doing. Imagine that.
It's a shocking thing.
Are you sure? Wait, is this talk radio? Hang on, I get done.
Hold on, I think I'm supposed to yell right now. Am I supposed to yell? Andy, are you supposed to yell?
No, I got to pinch myself.
Someone
I got to figure this thing out. Amy, I'm just tired of hearing everybody say, this is the way it's done in the NFL, that backups don't get any reps. I do understand there are limited reps. I get that. I totally understand it. But there's also limited times where you have two rookies in the same situation.
Right.
And
and when people...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You have to think outside of the box. If you're gonna put yourself in the box, you better start thinking about being on the outside of it. That's all.
Well, that's a great way to say it. The other point is when people say, well, you know, backups don't tend to get reps. They don't get reps. Well, then the question is, well, are those backups rookies who might be in the game having had no reps? I mean, it's one thing if your backup is a veteran or at least has played some downs. But if you've got two rookies at one and two, you're best taking care of your team as a whole if you give them each some reps. And look, I get it. People are going to disagree with me. Go ahead, disagree with me. But let's remember that disagreeing agreeably is a good thing to do.
The Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask, joining us on the fan hotline, and we always appreciate it. What do you make of Pete Carroll being the head coach of the Raiders, and especially at the age that he is? And more than anything, do you like the idea of bringing in a coach for a year or two to kind of set the culture before setting everything forward, like it seems like the Raiders might be trying to do?
Well, now you've given me the opportunity to do what's called in our industry a tease, because I'm going to jump on CBS Sports HQ Spotlight a bit later today, and I'm going to talk about this very issue. Pete is a good coach. I liked the hire of Pete. I don't believe Pete is best being positioned by the organization to be his best, and I feel badly about that, not just for Raider fans, who I shall forever love, not just for Pete, but for all the players on that team. He's not being positioned to be his best. I like Pete. I think he's a good coach. I also think he could have done and still can do, if he's given the freedom and the autonomy to do it, of set the organization on the right path, as you just suggested he could.
Bigger surprise, Patriots 9-2, Broncos 9-2.
I will say Patriots.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And not that I'm necessarily that surprised. I'm a bit surprised. I'm not surprised at all by the Broncos. I said, and in one very, very sad respect, you'll hear what it is in a minute, I was wrong. I said going into this season that I thought any of the four, I thought the AFC West was up for grabs. The Chiefs could win, the Chargers could win, the Broncos could win. Dare I see it, say it. I hoped for Raider fans that the Raiders could win. Obviously, I was wrong on that. But you know, I thought the Broncos had a very good chance of winning the division. And I think the Chargers still do, and the Chiefs still do. So I think it's one of the more exciting divisions in football.
3 out of 4 is not a bad way to live. I mean, that's pretty good. That's a C. That, you don't have to have that signed by your parents. That's a good way to go.
That's very funny you say it to the kid who was always, like, at best a C student up until high school.
It's amazing how that goes. Amy Trash joining us. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, did you see the story, and Mike Florio had it in Pro Football Talk, it was initially out of the Wall Street Journal, about the NFL having their eyes on a high-speed plane with the idea that they could use it to go back and forth from Europe and maybe put a team there. You traveled a whole bunch coming from Oakland to have to play all of us in the snow belt over here. Do you think that's a game changer for the NFL if they could shorten those flights?
Well, I've got a little nugget for you that I've not shared with anyone in the wake of this story breaking. Hmm. When we played a preseason game in London, Al Davis, for those who might not know who I'm referencing, Al had to get back to the United States to attend an event that was very important. And the time frame in which he could do that was very, very restricted. We flew him back on the Concorde.
Really?
So there you go. We were ahead of the chains. Pun intended. We did it first, NFL. We flew Al home on that Concorde. So it absolutely, you know, assuming that the one issue, of course, is their very small seating capacity. So, it's not going to be an overnight change in paradigm. It's not going to be an overnight paradigm shift for international travel, but can it help? Yes. And NFL, just remember which team did it first.
Do you think that's the future? Is that we're going to have a team or two possibly over in London?
I don't know whether we will have teams based there full times. I do believe that we will continue to see international growth, additional games, teams that may stay a few weeks at a time. If there are ultimately teams based overseas, there are a lot of adjustments that will have to be made to process. Just one example would be Tuesdays. Tuesdays during the season are traditionally when teams bring in free agents to work them out. Well, if you're based in London or overseas anywhere, you are not flying a free agent who's living in California to London for a workout on an, like, hurry, hurry, we need you here tomorrow. So what they may have to do is create a base ops if these teams are stationed in Europe, put a base ops in the East Coast and then do things virtually. But when you do work out a player, you want your coach to be able to walk out to the field. You want your trainers, your medical staff to walk out. They're going to have to address all that with local base ops here that can service teams over there. There's a lot of logistics to be worked out, but I would not be surprised at all to see continued international growth.
And let me throw this one at you as a, can I call you a Cal gal? Because you went to Cal? Is that fair?
Oh, you sure can, because okay. It's big game week, baby.
I hear you. But my bigger question is, especially with the Browns eyeing maybe drafting a quarterback, is the former Cal quarterback, Fernando Mendoza. Do you have any thoughts on him, or did you let him go when he went to Indiana? You can say, all right, I'm not going to watch him anymore because he's not at my school anymore, and I can respect that. But what do you think of him?
Well, he's a phenomenal quarterback, and I was very, very sad to see him go, but I'm delighted with the quarterback Cal has in his stead. So those are not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
I think he is someone to keep your eye on. He is really, really, really good. And now may I please just take 1 second to express my opposition, NC2A, to allowing the transfer portal to be open, to allowing students to move before all postseason games
yes.
again.
Oh,
Mendoza
yes.
left the week before Cal played in a bowl game. And I just don't think that's the right thing to do. And it's not his fault. He had to. I'm not blaming Mendoza. That's the way the system is designed. NC2A, here's what you got to do. No player should be eligible to transfer before every single playoff game, postseason game, bowl game, whatever we want to call them, not until every single one is done. Because you can't allow the players who aren't in those games to transfer, because that could take spots from players who are in those games. So NC2A, make this change. Nobody transfers till every bowl game's over. That said, I wish him the best, and you should keep your eye on him.
It's funny. I hear Ryan Day, but I hear Ryan Day, but I don't see Ryan Day, but we're on the radio. So that
I've always had the thought, Amy.
Ryan thinks the same thing. I mean, he's said that time and time again, and I agree with that. Like, why are we allowing the portal to be open while the season's still going? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I believe in the portal. I believe if coaches have the right to walk into someone's home, recruit that student for their school, and then the coach can walk out, the students have the same right as well. But it is not fair to your teammates if you are put in a position, as Mendoza was. Again, not his fault.
Right.
But how is that fair to your team if you're leaving them on the eve of a ball game?
I've always thought they should move it to the end of May, right around Memorial Weekend, and that should be the portal. And then that way you can dominate all the headlines as the NCAA of who's moving where, because all you've got going in Memorial Day weekend is baseball.
I'll let the NC2A know your idea, because it's very good.
Right. Do it there. And then that way, and if these coaches are going to whine and complain and say things, well, you know, I don't have enough time to get these guys up to date and all that stuff. Dude, you got 3 months. Go. You can figure this out. I have faith in you. You're adults. You can do this. It's
spring,
not that hard.
Spring ball is the only question that comes into play on what you're talking about, though, doesn't it?
Andy.
Sorry.
You got 4 months. You can put this together.
Fair enough. Amy, have a great Thanksgiving weekend. You know we always appreciate when you're on, and we're always looking for you at CBS Sports.
Also, get Amy in the Hall of Fame. Amy's up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get her in the Hall of Fame.
I love joining you guys. It's always a pleasure to do so. And even though I will be rooting for Raider fans this weekend, I love you, Cleveland fans.
Thank you, Amy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Tom Withers reporting Dylan Gabriel back at practice today, correct?
Mm-hmm. He adds in, not sure if he has cleared the protocol or this is the final step. But Dylan Gabriel back at practice today. David Njoku also returned to practice dealing with a knee injury. Defensive end Alex Wright and Jamari Thrash are both absent as of now.
If he's cleared from concussion protocol by tomorrow, by today, I would think, right? You're starting Shador. He's been getting the reps this week, right? I mean, what happens?
I mean, you've...
Kevin did say that he would be the starter if he was out of protocol last week, didn't he?
I don't know what you do. I'm trying to process it in my head.
It's a 2-8 team.
I apologize. I'm processing on the road.
It's a 2-8 team. You let Sanders go out there and play. That's what I think. You're 2-8.
But if your number, all right, in the same way that you always said to me that the number two, if you're number two and you're the backup quarterback and they go to Bailey Zappe before coming to you, it's a slap in the face, right?
To who,
I think
though?
You have said that to me.
To
your locker room, to your fan base, to the integrity of that. So if your number one quarterback comes back,
I'm just telling
you, wouldn't that same logic prevail?
No, like with a pitcher.
Help me here.
There's only one person that you need to worry about in the whole scenario. It's not one in particular, but it's the one to one. So it's the one to one relationship between the coach and quarterback A, quarterback B, quarterback C. And you better know your players to know their confidence level to understand that if you tell them they're taking a step back this week or that they're going back in the direction where they were, you better feel confident that you're not destroying the confidence of said player. I know that's a little, there's a lot of confident words there, but
yeah.
Again, you have to know the emotional attachment, and it doesn't matter what the fans think. It doesn't matter what your other teammates think. If you're the head coach and your job is to win, you better find the best quarterback to help you win that week. Otherwise, you're going to be watching.
So then, this is the billion-dollar question that all of us are going to be yelling and screaming
about. I'm going
against
what I normally would say in that situation.
Is the unknown of Shedeur Sanders better than the known commodity of Dylan Gabriel when it comes to winning a football game? At least in your mind.
No. My point is, I'm putting Shedeur out there this week to start.
Okay.
It's a great, but the problem there is that it's a confidence builder for Gabriel.
This is like a mess.
I think they're
this going, is a total knot.
But I don't.
We're going to tie ourselves into knots on this. I understand it from a Kevin Stefanski point of view as well, because if I'm him, what I have watched from Dylan Gabriel has been poor. Now, there are a lot of reasons why it has been poor.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Including the play of Dylan Gabriel himself and everything around him. But it's been poor. And he's had, since the Minnesota game? So we're talking, I think, like 4 or 5 starts, I think we're at now. Something along those lines. Again,
dude,
doing this off the top of my head.
0-5 on the road this year, too.
I'm doing this off the top of my head. I apologize if my math is off to anybody out there who has this going. Please correct me on Twitter as necessary.
Okay.
So if that's the case, I don't know if you have a big enough sample size that you're going to turn around and hand the ball to Shedeur Sanders and go, yeah, I know Dylan Gabriel stinks, even though your fan base is going to tell you Dylan Gabriel stinks. I don't know if I'm Kevin Stefanski if I'm doing that same exact thing. But you've also been prepping a game plan for this kid all week. And it's probably different than the game plan you're going to have for Dylan Gabriel.
No, I don't think it's much different. Here's why.
Okay.
You have two rookie quarterbacks that both need confidence. And I mean, we can do it as two keys and a lock. I can tell you it's because it's part of my two keys and a lock. You need to make sure that whatever you do, no matter which quarterback it is, because they're both rookie quarterbacks, that you put them in high percentage plays and give them the opportunity to be able to succeed. You have to be able to succeed. And so you're going to use high percentage plays. You're going to throw to your tight end. You're going to throw or hand the ball off to your running back. Are you with me on this?
Dylan Gabriel's had 6 starts.
Okay.
To this point.
All right.
Just wanted to clarify that. Yes, you would think it would be a similar game plan. Like you'd think you'd want to turn around and hand the ball off a bunch, but we've watched this enough times to know that that's not how they're playing. Now, why that is another argument for another day. but like they don't turn around and hand the ball off 30 times a game.
No, but what they're doing now is 25, and they're throwing the ball 25 as long as they're within a close game. Let's do this. Let's do this conversation within the confines of two keys and a lock. Can you do that? Yeah, there we go. Two keys and a lock. All right, I'm going to give you key number one. I just laid it out. The Browns have to put a high percentage offense in front of a rookie quarterback, whether it's Gabriel or whether it's Sanders. Now, personally, I would love for them to give the ball to Sanders on the first play from scrimmage and tell him just to air the thing out. Let's go. Let's see that strong arm. Let's see that precision accuracy. Let's see all of it. Let's see it right away. You're 2-8. You have nothing to lose. Let's go. Key number one, Matt Corrali time.
All right, so key number one, if the Browns get a win Sunday, it's going to be because Shedeur Sanders didn't run 15 or 20 yards backwards when facing pressure. He needs to step up in the pocket, and when he's scrambling, he either find a hole upfield that's created by your line or scramble out to the left or the right. And if nothing's available, just throw it away. He cannot run like a chicken with his head cut off back there. It may have worked in college. It's not going to work in the NFL.
Key number one for me is turn around and hand the ball off to Quinshon Judkins as much as humanly possible. I just think a strong run game is the best thing for a rookie quarterback. And a strong run game is the best thing for a quarterback who has the limitations that Shedeur Sanders does. And I don't know why they didn't do it for Dylan Gabriel, but they need to start doing it now. Turn around, hand the ball off to Quinshon Judkins, hand it off to Dylan Sampson, hand it off to Ford. It's got to be like the number 30. It's got to be 30 times between those guys. That's key number one.
All right, that's key number one. Time now for key number two. Dan, you can go first on this one.
Key number two is back to kind of what Matt Corrali was saying as well in his key number one. Key number two is, dude, you're not prime Michael Vick. Like, someone needs to sit Shedeur Sanders down. They need to look him dead in the eye, and they need to say to him, you are not prime Michael Vick. You are not Kyler Murray. You are not Lamar Jackson, okay? Do not bail out of the back of that pocket, because Max Crosby will be standing right there wanting to slam you into the dirt. And let me tell you, it hurts a lot more when Max Crosby is the one doing it compared to a Big 12 defensive end. Key number two, you have got to step up in that pocket. You have got to break that habit ASAP, because if you
don't... And get rid of the ball quicker, right?
Okay, three steps, ball out. Five steps, ball out. Do not bail out of the back of that pocket. That's
Corrali time. Key number two.
So we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball, and Jim Schwartz said it best yesterday in his press conference. There are two guys you have to worry about offensively for Vegas. It's tight end Brock Bowers, and it's running back Ashton Jeanty. Now, Bowers kind of goes without saying, right? He was a first-team All-Pro last year. He's only getting better, as last year he was a rookie. But Jeanty's interesting, and Schwartz said his stats don't match the tape. He's only averaging just under 4 yards a carry, but 65% of his yards are after contact. So that means he's averaging 1.3 yards before contact, and that's the worst in football. So you need to have form tackles shine when you have number two right in front of you defensively. Get him to the ground initially, because if not, he's going to make you pay.
I'll double down on that for our key number two, and I'm going to go with the no-throw Raiders is what I'm saying, because when you look at their, first of all, their rushing offense is abysmal. They're tied for 30th in the league at 81.4, but their passing offense isn't much better. They are 25th in the league with a 187.6 yard per game, so 187.6 yards per game. You're going up against the number one pass defense in the NFL, allowing just 167 yards per game in your Cleveland Browns. Those two numbers don't sync up, but they do favor the Browns just gigantically. So it's got to be the no pass Raiders once again. And, you know, they're giving up 167, and the Raiders are averaging 187.7. So continue to make sure that the Raiders believe they can't throw the ball, because guess what? The Browns should be able to do that this week. Let's go into the lock. Lock it up. Boom. Matt, you go first. Give me your lock.
So the lock of the day, for the third time this season, your Cleveland Browns are getting to 20 points on the scoreboard. Now, how they'll do it, I don't know. Probably a good, maybe a score or two will come from the defense. But, guys, the Raiders looked abysmal on Monday night against Dallas. I just see this as a great opportunity for everyone to shine. It might not be the Miami game where they put up 31, but I think it's definitely going to be better than the Jet game that you saw a few weeks back.
Menigan, give me a lock.
Miles Garrett, 4 sacks.
Are you serious? You're going to give him another 4-sack game?
Yes.
Wow.
Because A, Geno's not moving the way he should. B, that Raiders offensive line is so bad. That is thin. It's not good at all. Miles is going to feast in this game.
Was that giving 13 over the last three games?
It's going to be something asinine. Like, he's breaking the single season record this year,
by
the way.
In three games, he's about to do it.
Yeah, he's breaking the single season record. Like, it's insane what he's going to be able to do against this line. This line is awful for the Raiders.
All right, this is my lock. You ready? You ready for this one?
Do it.
Do you know how many people are going to be so excited when they see this play?
Do it.
Shedeur Sanders will have a rushing touchdown.
Ooh, I like that.
It's my lock. Feel
it. I like
it.
That idea.
It's in my bones. In my soul. Shedeur Sanders, I can't wait to see what he does once he gets there. Is his dad going to be there? That's the question. He did answer that question. And we'll play that answer for you a little bit later in the show. How's that sound? All right, let's do this. Let's bring in the legend, the man, the myth. He has got the Tim May Show with Clay Hall. And in fact, they have named the show after him. He's so good. Hi, Tim May. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. I heard that reference. I'm just saying. I like that. That segue into me. I'm just saying.
That should be the name of your podcast. I'm just saying with Tim May.
But it goes back to just saying, as in that's the nickname I gave Julian Saying.
Ooh.
Right out of the gate when he first committed to Ohio State, transferred up from Alabama. I was talking to his high school coach, Dad McNeil, one of the great guys you're ever going to run into, who basically co-owns a pizza joint there in Carlsbad, California.
And
my nickname for him is Just Saying. And of course, Coach McNeil said in his way of saying things, yeah, we haven't heard that one before.
I get it. As a guy that's lived that their whole life. Oh, 31. Hey, give me some ice cream. Oh, I respect that. I respect his cynicism with you, my friend.
There you go, man.
Bigger question for you is, who are you resting tomorrow? And then I'm going to ask you the giant question after that. Are you resting the receivers tomorrow? Who are you resting tomorrow?
Based on what the way things have gone down the past 2 weeks, I wouldn't play Carnell Tate tomorrow.
Okay.
But, you know.
How bad do we think that injury is? I know it's different in college.
I have no idea.
Tim, don't you want to know how bad the injury is? It drives me nuts with college.
Even then, you don't know how bad it really is.
Yeah.
We thought Jackson Smith and Jigba would get over his hamstring thing, and he came back too early. And next thing you know, he didn't play the rest of the season after playing against Wisconsin. And just imagine that. Against Georgia, they didn't have Travion Henderson that year. They didn't have Jackson Smith and Jigba. They lost their tight end at the beginning of first quarter. And they still almost beat Georgia. Georgia going for two straight and got beat 42-41 and lost Marvin Harrison Jr. at the end of the third quarter. So different guys have to play when things like that happen. But what I was going to get to before you were browbeating me there was that all I know is he didn't play the last 2 weeks. So it's more than just broken fingernail.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say broken fingernail because you can always tape that up. But so we'll see. But they want as close to 100% hands on deck as they can get. I know next week in Ann Arbor.
Does the same thing apply with Jeremiah Smith in his current situation, Tim?
No, he played last week. He played 22 plays and wanted to keep playing, but they pretty much put him on that play count and took his helmet away and said, "You're not playing anymore today." And he sort of limped off the field. I mean, I think his is more of a, like a quad pull or a quad bruise. You know what I mean by, quadriceps bruise more than, or pull, something in that nature. Carnell Tate, you understand him, could be lower on the leg for him in some kind of form or fashion. But like I said, this has been as tight-lipped as I've ever seen a group hold an injury situation in terms of keeping it secret.
All right, let's just say Ohio State wins this week. They go to 8-0, and then Indiana wins. They go to, 9-0? Indiana play, or are they the week off? I can't remember.
They're the week off, and then they're playing Purdue for the old oaken bucket.
That's right. Okay, so let's just say it's automatically – is this possible? It's automatically Ohio State, Indiana, the Big Ten championship game after this weekend. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
Yeah, for all you hypotheticals, hypotheticals, as I call them, Bo Bishop, I was always throwing hypotheticals at me.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody was always wanting to live 2 weeks from now today. what could be at stake is the Big Ten championship between Indiana and Ohio State and the Heisman Trophy between Fernando Mendoza and Julian Sayin.
So
that game has all kinds of prospects of being, to quote one of the presidents of the United States, huge.
So if, a week from tomorrow night, we're locked in to Indiana, Ohio State, even going into the last weekend of play for the Big Ten championship, I ask you, Tim May, are you playing those wide receivers next week in a game that I can't finish the sentence? I'm not going to say it, but I mean,
here's the thing. This team, including Ryan Day, who's basically the head of this team.
Yes.
Has unfinished business from the last 4 years and unfinished business. Yeah. The last 4 years includes not having won a Big Ten championship. It includes not having beaten Michigan. Mm-hmm. Trinkets come with both of those accomplishments, whether you win a national championship or not. And, I got Caden Curry. I just finished recording our podcast. Me and Clay Hall just finished recording our podcast here for Friday for later this afternoon distribution. Where, by the way, I got Jim Trussell in there talking about being the bell ringer. I said,
"Oh, nice."
I didn't ask him this, but I told him before we started. I said, "Now, are you going to end up with a job in front of a store for Salvation Army this year?"
Ah,
he kind of understood what I meant. But, the bell ringers.
Yes.
But,
I thought you were going to ask him if he was going to the real Notre Dame.
But I digress. No, he's ringing the bell tomorrow. As I call it, the come hither bell now. It used to be the victory bell. They only rang after victories in Ohio Stadium, but they also ring it before the games this year.
By the way, I like this tradition.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I like it, too. You know, he's the one that started the tradition, this become tradition now, 25 years ago, of the team singing Carmen, Ohio.
Yes.
In front of the band or in front of the students, after a game is over, win or lose, and that is carried on.
You know why? Because C. Grant had such a good voice. That's probably why.
Yeah, well, they ought to get everybody locked arm in arm and just play his recording is what they ought to do.
Oh.
Because, as smart and intelligent as this football team is, you still see guys out there, if you see on a road game and then a home game, you still see guys out there benefiting from the words being on the scoreboard as they sing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like a teleprompter. Yes.
Yeah. And but anyway, I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying those guys would play if they were healthy against Michigan?
I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, I know. Here's the thing. You know they want to for sure.
For sure.
Now, a lot of things come into mind in this age, and a lot of people conjecture stuff, make up stuff, but you have to keep it in mind that, the – NFL draft is coming for Carnell Tate in about 4 months, 5 months from
he
now.
Could just be coming. Like that. We'd like him 2.5 hours north, if that's possible.
Right, exactly. But the bottom line is, there are all kinds of currents in the current ocean that weren't there before that could change people's minds. But I know Carnell Tate really, he's one of those guys with unfinished business. And boy, was he streaking along until he got sidelined the week of the Purdue game. So I would expect him to play if possible because, you want to be part of something big because there's no, as people who know who are Browns fans, there's no guarantee you're ever going to the Super Bowl.
Amen. No
actual statements.
So, but man alive, when you have a chance to play for something huge, you want to be part of it.
Tim, as always, we love talking to you on Fridays, and I love listening for your question in the postgame press conference.
We've got to give our segment a flavor, in honor of Baskin and Robbins. We've got to give our segment a flavor. I think strawberry is the best way of putting it
because
it's so delish. Now, I like peach in the summertime.
We'll make it a sundae, and we'll call it Digress Drizzle. How's that sound?
Yeah. With sprinkles provided by
because we're winners, right? We get
darn
sprinkles because
right,
we're winners.
Winner.
Yeah,
and defensive sprinkles provided by Matt Patricia. You've heard me talk about that
true.
Took over a talented group and has provided his sprinkles, and boy, are they going places!
I'm going to grow a beard in honor of him. How's that sound?
That sounds extremely, extremely good. But I would like it a little more kempt, K-E-M-P-T, kind of like Ryan Day's beard. To be honest,
if they keep playing defense like this. he could have it going in every different direction. I don't care. They look great. Goodbye, Tim. We got to go.
Take care, buddy. Talk soon.
Fellas. It's Peace. Always a pleasure talking to both of you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.